welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. Giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. Man, it feels good to be back home. Yes, yes. I used to be a corporate trainer, and I would be on an airplane three weeks out of the month, and I would always take for granted that I would always come home from wherever I was traveling until one day in September taught me whenever I get on an airplane, never take it for granted that God's going to allow me to come back home safely. So I am glad to be here today. Amen? Permit me, if you will, I'd like to continue in our tradition of spending the summer with the psalmist. Is that all right? Yeah. All right. And while you're turning to Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm, I want to tell you how good God is. And in Minister Tamika's absence, I'm going to talk about it. Is that all right? I guess it's about 3 weeks ago. You know, I'd already had my outline, my sketch, and the Lord was speaking to me. And she was repeating back everything I had on the paper. And I just thank God for the confirmation, because I always want to be where God wants me to be. And it was just magnificent. So while she's here, I'm going to talk about it. That's all right. Now, you ought to be at the 100th Psalm by now. And if you know me, you know what I'm going to ask you to do. There you go. Keep your Bible open. Keep your Bible open. Not here at Redeemer, but at other places. The illiteracy when it comes to God's word is strikingly alarming. So if you do anything, keep your Bible open. Amen? All right, here we go. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures for all generations. If you don't mind, this morning I'm going to take about an extra 5 minutes. I'm usually 20 minutes. But today I'm going to go 25. Is that okay? And let me just share with you. There was so much in the text. I was between, should I split it up into two messages, or should I try to just get it all into one? So we're going to let the Spirit have his way, however it ends. Amen? Amen. 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 Now, my title, my topic, or the theme is house rules. I'll say it another way. The rules of the house. You follow me? House rules. Now, when I was growing up, and one of the things that I would experience was that whenever we would go to visit somebody's house, there was a speech that was given in the car. Now, this speech was normally given by my mother. And she would turn and she said, listen, We get ready to go in this house. Don't you touch nothing. Then she would proceed. Don't forget your manners. And she would take it a little further. If you even think about acting up, I got something for you. And I'm not going to wait till we get home. I'm going to give it to you right on the spot. That's my mother beat me. I watch kids today. They get away with murder. Yeah. Now, my mother, she not only had rules for other people's house, but she had rules for our house. Like one rule was you can't play ball in the house. Yeah, y'all had the same rule, yeah. If you eating, it better stay in the kitchen. Yes, she did. I believe in the spirit that God has rules when we come into his house. I know I'm right about it. God says, when you come into my house, you ought to make a joyful noise. When you come into my house, you ought to serve the Lord with gladness. When you come into my house, there ought to be some singing. When you come into my house, you ought to know that I am God, and I'm God all by myself. God says there are some rules when you come into my house. Ah, starting to feel like preaching. Yeah. God says, it is right here in the text, that the first rule that we ought to have when we come into the house of God is we ought to have the right attitude. That's my first point. God requires of us to have the right attitude. Look at the text. Look at the text. The first part of verse 1 says, make a joyful noise. Now, in the original Hebrew language, what the psalmist is saying, or the way that it is written, is that it says, shout to the Lord. And what the psalmist is describing is he's describing the shout of victory. Ah, you missed it. Can I say it this way? Has anybody ever been in a place where you know it was the Lord that gave you the victory over your situation? Somebody here knows that it was the Lord that brought you out the hospital when the doctors had a bad report. It was God that gave the victory. There are times when our burdens become too heavy for us to bear, and it's the Lord that gives us victory. Have you ever been in a situation where you had no idea, no clue how you were going to make it out? Is there anybody here that knows it was the Lord? The psalmist is saying that you ought to come into God's house shouting because it was God that gave you the victory. There ought to be noise in God's house. There ought to be the shout of victory in God's house. I'll shout all by myself if I have to. Yes. Yeah. Text says, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. You see, it's our service that shows our love for God. You see, in other words, God didn't save us to sit. Nah. God saved us to serve. Now, for many believers at other churches, I know it's not here at Redeemer, but at other churches, they get saved, then they get infected with that disease called siditis. Siditis. Siditis is when you just sit on a pew. Yeah. I don't know about you, but God has been too good to me for me to sit down on God. We've got to serve him and serve him with gladness. You know, the problem in many churches, not here at Redeemer, but at other churches, everybody want to be the leader. Everybody want to be an apostle. They want to be a bishop. Instead of just doing what Jesus commanded us to do, not be about a title, but to serve. Jesus' words, if you have one of those old King James, it's written in red. He said, I came not to be served, but I came to serve. Not only do I serve, but there's something on the inside. There's a joy that's within me that allows me to serve God with gladness. Let me hurry. So we come in shouting, and we serve with gladness. But another rule of the house, it says that there ought to be some singing. It's right there in the text. It says, come before his presence with singing. Now we sing because it was the Lord who put a song in our heart. You see, W.E.B. Du Bois said that we inherited in our soul the tradition of singing. As African Americans, we sing naturally. We can create our own beat and create our own song. Some of y'all, I saw y'all pat your... Naturally, it's in us. For when we sing the songs of Zion, we find ourselves being lifted closer to God. You see, singing has a mystical power. Where singing frees my human spirit in such a way that the heavenly spirit of God can penetrate my soul. So in God's house, we want to ask yourselves, what song are you singing? Are you singing songs that give God the glory? That give God the honor? Yeah. What song were you singing this morning before you arrived? Yeah. I know it's hard to find a station, but you can sing without the radio station. Let me keep it moving. So first, we have to have the right attitude. Secondly, we have to have the right acknowledgement. The text says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. The psalmist says, no. Can I stop right there? No. No implies that our worship must not only involve my emotion, but it should also involve my intellect. You follow me? Let me say it another way. You see, when I think about, that's the intellect, the goodness of God, and all that he's done for me, then my soul, that's my emotion, will scream and shout. Yeah, you got to have some intellect in our worship. Not all emotion. Remember my pastor told me a long time ago, it's all right if you want to jump. That's emotion. But intellectually, you need to know why you're jumping. Yeah. Notice if you will, the two names of God that's used in this verse. He says, know ye that the Lord, in Hebrew, that means Jehovah. And he says that he is God, in Hebrew, that means Elohim. I'm going to break it down and put it together in a minute. What the psalmist is saying when he uses the name Jehovah, he says that you got to know that Jehovah is the self-existent one, that he's the self-sufficient one, and that God is totally independent. In English, my ancestors used to say he is God all by himself. Yes. When he says he is God, this word Elohim, it means the possessor of all things. You got to put it together. God spoke out and grabbed nothing. And all he said was, let it be. Because all power is in him. And he said, took nothing, and he made something out of nothing. I can't help but think about my life. How God reached down, grabbed a little black boy, and he made something out of nothing. The psalmist is painting the picture that God, being the self-existent one, is the owner of everything. For in another psalm, it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And all of us that dwell therein belongs to the Lord. Just look back over your life and you'll see that it was God. Yes, he is. One of the rules of the house is you got to know for yourself who God is. You got to know that he's God all by himself. You got to know that he's the creator and we're the creature. You got to know he's the blesser and we're the blessee. You got to know that all the praise belongs to him and we are just the praisers. Can I tell you about our ancestors? Our ancestors knew who God was. I often remember my grandmother saying, he's my bridge over troubled water. He's my shelter in a time of a storm. He's my balm in Gilead. He's my light in darkness. He's my way where there is no way. And since our God is the creator, the psalmist says, he made us, not we ourselves. Can I pause for a minute, catch my breath? You know, there's one thing I have difficulty understanding. The title or the phrase or description, a self-made man. There is no such thing as a such self-made person. Can I share a quote with you? There's no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. For we all have received so much from so many for so long that it may be difficult to count, But whatever you do, if you can't count, definitely don't discount. There is no way, especially as a Christian, because as a Christian, we can never say we were self-made. As a Christian, our testimony is, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Yeah. Let me hurry. So God, thank you. God creates us. And I want to put a forward look on the text as well as a backward look. God creates us. Then sin comes in. You with me? God creates us. Sin comes in. Tell you how good God is. God then purchases us. God buys us back out of the sinful condition. You see, we have been redeemed and brought with a price, because it was Jesus that changed our whole life. So we know his person. We know who he is. We know we have been purchased, but we also see the provisions of God. And I'm talking about the rules of the house. You see, the provisions of God are right here in the text. You see, God says we are his sheep. Yeah. You see, it was the shepherd's job to provide for the sheep. You see, the shepherd would lead and would protect the sheep. And as God, being our shepherd, he keeps on making a way. He keeps on blessing me. He keeps on providing for me. I'm just talking about the rules of the house. Yeah. So first, we have to have the right attitude. Second, we have to have the right acknowledgement. Lastly, we have to have the right approach. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now let me ask you a rhetorical question. Do you realize that we are in the presence of God? Do you realize? And since we are in the presence of God, that we ought to approach God the right way. See, the text says, enter. That word in the Hebrew, it means to bow. In other words, it says, when I get in the presence of God, I've got to bow and worship him. I've got to give God all the glory, all the honor, and I came to bless his name. So here we are. We are to enter to the court with thanksgiving, which speaks of an attitude of gratitude. In other words, when I knew it was Sunday, I was up before the alarm clock so I could get in to the house of the Lord. The psalmist is painting a picture that our thanks must be like an incense that fills the temple. Another way of saying our thanks ought to fill this whole temple or sanctuary with smoke, like the incense of old, that there ought to be an aroma of thanks and an aroma of thanksgiving, because we have so much to thank God for. I don't know about you, but I can't help but praise him. He keeps on blessing me. God has been better to me than I've been to myself. So when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, there ought to be a praise, not only in my heart, but on my tongue. Because I came to bless his name. Whatever he does, I'm going to bless his name. When God gives, I'm going to bless his name. When God takes, I'm going to bless his name. As long as I live, I'm going to bless his name. Under all circumstances, I'm going to bless his name. Yes. So here we are. I'm coming in. Verse 5. Verse 5 tells us. I hope you ain't closed your Bible. Verse 5 tells us why we ought to enter with thanksgiving. Why we ought to enter his courts with praise. Why we ought to bless his name. Text says, you got your Bible open? Text says, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Let me ask you, we sang about grace, but do you know what mercy is? Yeah. You see, grace is getting what I don't deserve, but mercy, mercy, mercy is not getting what I do deserve. Let me see if I can get on your street. I did the crime, but mercy didn't allow me to do the time. I'm trying to tell you about mercy. Many say they were innocent, guilty as can be, but mercy, yes, that's what I love about God. You see, the mercy of God is one of the rules of the house, and I'm getting ready to close. You see, what I love about God's mercy is that God's mercy is bigger than my mistakes. You see, God's mercy is bigger than my mess. God's mercy has snatched many of us from the jaws of death. It's the mercies of God that we're here one more day. You ought to make some noise if you know anything about God's mercy. See, in Ephesians, it says our God is rich in mercy, which means he'll never ever run out. But I like how the writer of Lamentations says it. It says that our mercies are new every morning. Yes. Yeah, I want to end with a story, if I could. End with a story. Grace and mercy, you know, in the spirit, they're cousins. They're related. Grace and mercy. So grace and mercy had a date to meet for lunch at 12 noon. 12:30 shows comes around. Grace is there. Grace is all time. Grace was there 11:45. 12 o'clock, no mercy. 12:30 rolls around. no mercy. Grace is kind. Grace say, I'm going to give you the customary hour to be here before I leave. 1 o'clock comes and still no mercy. Grace says, I'm getting ready to leave. And all of a sudden, mercy shows up. Now, when mercy shows up, his clothes was ripped. His clothes was wet. And he smelled like smoke. So Grace said, what happened to you? Mercy said, well, on my way here, I had to rescue a boy named Daniel in the lion's den. And that's why my clothes are ripped. He said, Dad, I saw the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. He said, that's why I smell like smoke. He said, Dad, I saw this apostle named Peter. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he began to sing. And that's why my clothes are wet. See, what I'm trying to say is, when we find ourselves in the lion's den of life, or life has somehow put us all in a fiery furnace, or we find ourselves sinking in the vast sea, sinking to rise no more, then we ought to get on our feet and say, thank God for his mercy. Thank God that his mercy endures forever. Thank God that he never runs out of mercy. Thank God that the rule of the house is that we can find mercy in our time of need. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Yes. The rule of the house. We have to have the right attitude. We have to have the right acknowledgement. And we have to have the right approach. As we begin to open the doors of our church, and as the deacons come forward, we thank God for his spirit. We thank God for his presence. And we thank God for the rules of the house. For as we offer our first call, one of the rules is, if you came in unsaved, you don't have to leave the same way. This is an opportunity to give the deacon your hand, but give God your heart. Yes, this is an opportunity to experience everlasting life, but to have Jesus not only as your Savior, but as your Lord. Is there one that wants to change your life? The Spirit led you to the church today, and the Spirit is pulling and tugging on you right now. Is there one that would like to give their life to Jesus? Would you come?